you once again, my brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus. I greet you in that name that's above every other name, at the name of Jesus Christ. Every knee bows, every tongue confesses, because He, the Lord Jesus Christ, He indeed is Lord. He's Lord over it all, and in Him we live, we move, and we have our being. I greet you amidst all that's going on in this world at such a time as this, and it truly is an incredible, if you still hold to the concept of time, because we've talked about this one before too, even time. Now the world's scientists, physicists, the ones that are really actually trying to figure out what's going on, they'll say that all time is happening all the time. It's kind of like the new scientific conclusion. And which, you know, again, every time that people pursue truth, they end up smacking right dab into God and Jesus Christ, who is the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. So they end up knocking right into that truth. So when Jesus said, "I am," that's even a better summation of what they're trying to say. You know, when they say all time is happening all the time, yeah, I am. Okay, so it's because why are these things important? Because as much as the world is trying to legislate evil, as much as the world is, and the enemy of the world, of all humanity, the devil, who comes to steal and to kill and to destroy, and tries to, with his PR machine, tries to turn things all into a completely different way than what's actually real, well, despite all of that, the truth remains true. And as people go forward, they want to know it's true. You know what's interesting to me about, you know, all these global intelligence agencies that are out there? On one side, they sow discord and different strategies and all. But when it comes to their information gathering, when it comes to all that stuff that they're doing, I guarantee you they want to know what's actually going on. They want to actually know what's the deal, what's the facts, what's the reality, because that's how they then make their decisions. So even these people that have their crafts of twisting and turning countries and gathering up things and making all these decisions and doing all that stuff, but when it comes to their rooms, their back rooms where they go sit down and they make their decisions, they want to know what's the truth. What's the foundation of reality, so that they can make their decisions. Whether it comes to 650,000 people that have disappeared in the U.S. a year, or whether it comes to what's going on in Area 51 in the States, or the political crisis in Sri Lanka that happened a few months back, or what's going on in China with organ harvesting and rounding up people they don't like, sticking them in camps, and then because they've got this global demand for organs, just harvesting them off these people. They want to know what's true. They want to know what's real, so that they can make their decisions. And if their decisions involve lying, killing, stealing, destroying, but they still want to know what's true so that they can make their choice. And what's interesting is the ultimate truth remains and always will be Christ Jesus. The ultimate salvation. You know, if they could get the benefits of Christ without Jesus, they would, but they can't. You can't get the benefits of Christ without Christ. You can't get freedom without true freedom. You can't get life without true life. And so that's the thing, is that that's the dividing line. That's the place where they all stop. Because when it comes to that, they don't want to go there. Because what? Because, well, Jesus already told us. Now this is the verdict. Light came into this world, but men loved, but the men did, they didn't want it. Men loved the darkness more than the light, because their deeds were evil. And so that's where they want to go. They want to stay in that darkness. So they reject the light. And they try to deal with anything that's an agent of that light the same way that they would deal with anything they don't want. They try to put out that light so we can all be in darkness. If it's bothering you so much, put it in another room so you don't have to look at it, so we can all stay in this dark room over here, right? That's what they do, right? I mean, just if you think about it on just a natural level of what you would do if you wanted to stay in a dark room and a light showed up, well, what would you do? It's the same reactions, the same visceral reactions. We complicate it and we take it personal, but really it's where they're coming from. And because they choose the darkness, they want to be in the darkness. And that's why, too, when you ask a legitimate question, when you ask something that they don't have an answer for, then they don't answer you. That's why the shadow banning, my friends, is because in order, well, if they can't win the debate, then don't have the debate. If they can't win the argument, don't have the argument. If they can't win the discussion, don't have the discussion. You remember in the book of Acts when Paul shows up to and he's talking to those guys about all the idols around their city, and he says, "Look, I saw one to an unknown God, and I'm going to make known to you today what you didn't previously know." Okay, they don't allow that today. At least not digitally, and not on the major platforms, because they don't want that conversation. They don't want that discussion. They don't want people getting free, and that's the point. They don't want souls coming out. That's the point. They don't want people saying, "You know what? There's something to what this guy's saying. You know what? I'm pricked in my heart, and I need to get right." They don't want the 3,000 coming to the Lord on a single day like happened at Pentecost, because they don't want that message getting out. Because if the message gets out, the souls come to Christ, people get free, people walk out of this thing, and they can't harvest that power from their souls. They can't put them in situations where they suffer and they extract the life out of them. Because why? For the Christian, well, what does it say? "Consider it pure joy when you face trials and tribulations of all kinds." Because the You know what? If you consider it pure joy when you face trials and tribulations of all kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith builds perseverance, perseverance character, character hope, and that hope does not disappoint. If you consider it pure joy when you face trials and tribulations of all kinds, then that taints their harvest. That taints what they're trying to extract from you. If they try to cause pain and it brings forth a different response than what they want, if it results in faith in you and trust in you and praise to the living God inside of you, that's not what they want. They don't want to oppress you and now that result in you praying. They don't want to strike you and you pray for them. They don't want you blessing those that persecute you, praying for those who spitefully use you. They don't want that. That's not what the system's set up for. The system is set up so that you experience pain and it causes that horrible situation inside of you, and then you respond like all the rest of them so that they can harvest that trauma in the spiritual realm. Until a lifetime of suffering and a lifetime of discord and a lifetime of all of that, until they ultimately scalp the soul. And in the realm of the spirit, you guys, look, in the realm of the natural, this is just the manifestation of the spiritual. But in the realm of the spirit, that's what's real. And whatever's going on in that realm, that's the one that you want to be also understanding. Because there's something else going on, and it's not... This whole thing here is, I mean, we've already seen how malleable this whole thing is. So if people haven't seen what's going on with, I mean, they call it the Mandela effects, but it just, reality is malleable, okay? Listen, I've got a King James Bible that the wonderful Barbara Marcotti and our friends over at Cornerstone Books gave me years ago, long time ago. I mean, well over 10 years ago when I was out there. Wonderful Bible, King James Bible, and I've been reading that Bible for well over a decade, and I've seen text be different inside there than it was before. Small changes. And I know what the typeface looked like. I know what the layout was and the design was visually before, and then the change after, because I'm familiar with that book. All right. So there are shifts. There are changes. And actually, there's a scripture that even allows for that, that shows for that, which is, I mean, Jesus said, look, not one jot or tittle none of that's going to shift or change until we start getting to a closeout. I mean, I'm really paraphrasing, really butchering that, but we know we're getting to a different window right now. We know that we're not where we were before, and we won't be going back to where we were before. So all these guys trying to get the genie back in the bottle, they're not going to get that. We might go on to something totally different, but we're never going back to what we were in once before. So that being the case, forget about that old reality. Because all time is happening all the time, but our vantage point and where we are moving and our present paradigm experience is what it is right now, and it is totally different than where we were before, and we will never go back to what we once were in. Now, light continues to come in, light continues to come forward, and those that are living in the darkness are having trouble keeping that light from reaching them in all the different things that they're involved with and all the different things they're in the middle of. So they're struggling to figure that out. Now, what they're trying to do is put the clamp downs, and they're making their moves in really big, obvious, clumsy, clunky ways. I mean, it's clumsy. It's a mad dash to try to put everything together again. And they're going for all-out tyrannical jackboot on the neck of society. That's what they're going for. They're working very hard towards that. But ultimately, Book of Daniel, if you want to read that one, the whole thing, all the kingdoms of this world, they ultimately get pulverized into absolute dust, like chaff on a threshing floor. And when the wind blows, it blows them away, and there's not even a memory of them. So if you don't think that that's where we're going to end up after all this stuff is done, well, just go read and think about it. Because already they're coming apart. Already they're falling apart. Already they're having a hard time keeping a hold on people. They definitely can't keep a hold on information. Because, you know, the more that they try to do that, the more that things just slip through their fingers. And, you know, the other thing too is, now for us, one of the key things is going to always be, you're going to want to flow with the Spirit and not go by your natural thinking. And this is going to become more and more and more important in the time we're moving into. And here's why. With all these algorithms that they're now bringing to bear in the natural realm. Well, first of all, know that in the spiritual realm, if you've ever listened to the Bishop Conko interviews, which Zeph did with Bishop Conko some years back, and we reposted it on Faith Mix inside the Spiritual War section in our archives, but spiritual warfare. But if you listen to that, well, you know there's the psychic computers in the second heavens that the enemy uses, right? Okay, so those have been put to work against humanity for a long time. But they're trying to, again, so just as God would, as we pray, God, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven, same way the enemy works to bring his kingdom, second heavens, his kingdom, onto earth, as it is in the second heavens. Because the enemy will continue to try to imitate God and Antichrist. It's going to be an anti of what's true and what's real. So when you see the world moving in a particular way and shaping up in a particular way, well, there's a reason for that. It's because he's trying to bring in his thing. So now, just a closing point is just realize that you've got to flow with the Spirit, because if you lean on your own understanding, they will use that understanding, and that what it is that you do in your own thinking apart from God, and they will know where you're going to be, what you're going to do, how you're going to do it, and all the rest of that. But if you do not trust in your own understanding, but you follow the Holy Spirit and you let him lead and guide you, that, my brothers and sisters, is going to be the way for you to go forward in this life. And what will happen there is God is going to sometimes lead you in a way that would be completely contrary to your own thinking. But it's going to be the way of life and peace, and it's going to completely confound the wisdom of this world, the knowledge of this world, the understanding of this world, the algorithms of this world, the artificial intelligence of this world, because you're just going to flow with God and you're going to do what he says. And they can't catch that. They can't capture that. They can't control that. You flow with God. You have the journey and the adventure that God wants to have for you and with you. And in that, you're going to be so blessed, and you're going to enjoy your experience as you go through all this. We love you guys. God bless you. Hey, 20 on 20 is coming up. Pray with us, guys. We'd love to have you there. Pray with us. God bless you. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. We always love to hear from you. God bless you all. We'll talk to you again sometime soon. Bye.